This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And a good morning, Charlie.
And welcome back, Frankie.
Well, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be in the studio with you once again.
And you're looking very well.
But you know, not doing badly. Now, I have to get myself health, however, occasionally.
Yeah.
Don't walk too fast, Frank. Take it easy. As long as I do that, I'm fine.
That's
but I
great.
Get very winded if I rush from one room to another, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
so no
that,
rushing, but
no
keep
rushing.
Active, yeah. Keep up, keep
yeah.
walking. And,
exactly.
And you look good. Your eyes
well,
are
you.
Really sparkly.
Yep.
And
yeah. Here. Yeah. Just wave to all the folks who are tuned in.
Yes, indeed. You know. And as I mentioned to you, my shout out to my friend Linda Carr. No, sorry, Linda McMillan, who spoke to me yesterday, came in, hugs yeah. goodbye because it's the big change coming in my life. And she said she does watch us. And
yeah.
On her iPad.
Hi.
It's like, yeah. Hey, Linda. Thanks. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Well, here we are on The Garden Show. And I was really totally confused today. I thought Dennis Flanagan was coming in to be the host. That happens next week.
That's correct.
That's your move week, as it were.
Dennis will be here
yeah.
in my place next Saturday and the following Saturday.
Right. Good for you. Okay. Let me get the phone numbers mm-hmm. on the air because I know we've got a lot of folks out there who have questions for you, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
416-360-0740. In Toronto. And if it's anywhere in Ontario, toll free at this number, 1-866-740-4740. Call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first time caller, please let Duncan, our operator, know. And that's what you're going to hear before we come to the air. Get your garden wings. Okay. There we are.
All right. That's your job done. So you can take a
right.
break. Now, my job. Let's see, where am I in my job? So tomorrow, yeah. the Toronto Japanese Garden Club is hosting Nature's Beauty Show. It's from 12 to 4:30 at Momiji. What's Momiji? I don't even know what that stands for. Momiji, which is at 3555 Kingston Road in Scarborough. There's sushi, Japanese desserts, all kinds of homemade baked goods. Mm-hmm. There is a white elephant sale of treasures. There's demonstrations. Of course, it's about Japanese gardening. So bonsai, ikebana arrangements, the latest Japanese kokidama. Learn from the experts. And of course, there's a competition going on as well. So a lot of fun. And bonsai is very trendy. A lot of my students mm-hmm. love learning about bonsai. I don't know what it is. I think it's just that idea of it's
Mr. Yogi.
Well, yeah. yeah, there was a movie there.
Yeah,
whatever.
The Karate Kid,
right.
Yeah.
That, and so yeah, I think maybe it's partially it's that Zen thing that mm-hmm. goes with it. Anyway, it sounds like a lot of fun tomorrow if you can get to that. Toronto Botanical Gardens, of course, is hosting free concerts every uh-huh. Thursday at 7 o'clock, Thursday evening, rain or shine, great food, farmer's market. Get there early enough to bring a chair and get comfortable and enjoy the music in the garden. And, of course, Zim Sculpt is still on, so you're surrounded by uh-huh. not only gorgeous gardens but also amazing sculptures. Rural Botanical Gardens this weekend, they're running edible weekends. Discover peppers. There's a special guest chef doing cooking demonstrations. There are tours of the rock garden, the medieval garden, veggie village, discover pond plants, paddling in paradise, and free back to nature hikes. So lots going on at RBG and TBG, of course, both of them, rbg.ca and torontobotanicalgarden.ca.
Excellent, excellent. All righty. Yes.
I just want to do one quick update
yep.
for the cat lovers out there who know my story of the feral cat that adopted us and has, you know, moved in and is virtually taken over our house. He had his dental surgery 2 days ago.
Good.
And he's doing very well.
Now, are you taking him with you?
We are, yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, he had six teeth removed. So he's virtually toothless right now. He's on a soft diet.
How is he going to handle a move?
I don't know. I don't even know how
he might show up on the doorstep at home here at some point.
I don't know. We're not going to let them out to start.
Oh,
right? It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
And it is our house is a big house on a big lot, but it's a new house. So there's no trees or anything close to the house, no shade.
Okay, yeah.
And there are coyotes in the neighborhood and foxes and all kinds of
I
things.
I think it's a wise move, then you keep them in.
They're going to stay on the porch.
Well, that's good. Hey, that's good news.
All right.
Okay, we're going to be back in just a couple of moments with Charlie Dubbin. I'm Frank Proctor, the sous chef of the garden. Delighted to be with you here on a Saturday morning.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dubbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, when that little spot came on the air for the CNE, I said to Charlie, oh, I hate that. Every time I hear CNE for the first time, summer's over.
Summer's over. It's true. Labor Day's coming.
It's so fast. Anyway, we better get to our callers here who are patiently waiting on the line. There's Gloria right here in Toronto. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank. I've called before, so you're probably going to...
No worries. We recognize.
No, that's okay.
I remember your voice. Go ahead.
Okay. I have quite a few clematis growing. Mm-hmm. I have one that I've had it for about 3 years. It's a blue flower. Mm-hmm. Don't know the name of it, but I get a lot of green leaves, and now I'm getting that terrible black. It looks like not black spot, but it's the leaves are going crispy black.
Right, and they go limp. They're just hanging there, right?
And they hang there. And I have flowers at the very tip of my, and it's about 6 feet high.
Okay. And are the flowers a flat, sort of a star-shaped flower?
I'd have to go out and, I think so.
Yeah, they're,
flat.
The fact that it's blooming now, that would make sense. Okay, so here's the scoop. You have a fungal disease in that plant.
Okay.
And the name of that disease is pretty good because it explains exactly what you're looking at. The disease is called clematis wilt or clematis wilt. And it's where suddenly one or two or three of the stems, right from the ground up to the tip, will overnight start to droop. So you've got a healthy plant, but then you've got some droopy leaves in there, and over a short period of time, they will just turn black and hang there. Mm-hmm. So the wilt is a fungal disease. It is based in the soil, and it invades the plant, usually because there's some kind of a break in the stem or some kind of damage to the stem, and the fungus is able to enter the system, the blood system, gets translocated into the vine, into that particular broken or slightly damaged branch, and there it is. It just wilts. So what do you do to avoid it? So here's the things you do. Make sure that in the spring, you cut your clematis right down, that one I'm talking about. They're all different kinds of clematis, bloom at different times, so we trim them at different times.
Mm-hmm.
But the one we're talking about, the blue or purple one that's blooming now, mm-hmm. should be cut down to about 6 inches tall in mid-spring. You can just start to see the buds starting to form. They're a little furry. They look a little mouse ears along the stems, like last year's stems in the spring. Just go through there, cut it all, everything down, 6 inches tall. Compost what you've cut out, and just be very careful around the plant. Don't jostle the plant. Don't do anything to cause any damage to the stems that are being left behind, particularly at ground level.
Okay.
And feed with a little top dress, a little compost, nice organic matter. Ensure that the roots are shaded so that throughout the growing season, the hot sun isn't beating down on the crown of the plant. So make sure there's something growing in front of the clematis that provides a little bit of shade around the roots.
Okay.
So we always say with clematis, they want their feet in the shade and their heads in the sun. So they want to grow up into the sun, but you want the base shaded. Make sure when we get the drought like we've been having, low days and weeks of no rain, water thoroughly early in the morning.
So So I don't have to dig it out then. I was going to dig the whole plant out.
I wouldn't. I mean, no. Some years are worse than others in terms of the wilt showing up. But honestly, I mean, it's there. It's in our soils. It's a pathogen that we can't really do much about. Just be really careful to not jostle the plant during that spring trimming and do that top dressing and thorough watering.
That would kill some of the spores.
Nothing. There's no cure, no treatment. Okay. Just with so many, so many pathogens that infest or infect our plants, a healthy plant, a well looked after plant, a plant that's vigorous and healthy and happy and thriving is always going to be more resistant to problems.
Okay. And I shouldn't touch these black leaves. Just leave them there?
I'd leave them there because if you try and go in there, you end up jostling the plant and doing more damage.
Okay.
Right? So they will fall eventually.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And good garden hygiene. Pick up whatever falls.
Okay. Thank you so much,
You're
Charlie.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Gloria. All righty. And for my love of alliteration, we're going to totter along to Tottenham, which would only be more perfect if Elsie were seated on a teeter-totter.
Oh, my goodness.
In Tottenham. Elsie, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to move some, flocks.
Yes.
How do I do that and when do I do that?
So we're talking creeping flocks or garden flocks? Like tall flocks?
Tall.
Yeah.
Tall.
Well, they're blooming right now, right?
Yes.
Right. So it's never optimal to move plants when they're blooming. However, sometimes we can't get around it. It's just the way, you know, the world works. The most important thing is don't try and move or transplant plants when it's really hot. Because the heat will just knock them over. I mean, it's been hot, it's been, you know, humid, it's been windy, and these are all things that make it very hard for a plant to settle into its new home. This weekend is a little cooler, so depending on sort of what your ability is to look after these newly transplanted flocks, you could potentially, wouldn't be, like I say, optimal, you could transplant through now with a cooler weather.
But the blooming.
Pardon?
The flocks are blooming.
Yes. So that's what I mean. I'd be inclined to wait till September if you can.
Okay.
Yeah, September, early October, anytime in there.
And just dig deep and get lots of roots?
Yeah, you'll find that they aren't that deep rooted. But again, take as much root with you as you can. And of course, at that point, the flocks will be done flowering. So cut down, take away all the dead flowers. And remember, you're leaving some root behind, so you may have to cut down some of the stems a bit as well.
Okay, no problem.
All right.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thanks
Elsie.
I'm
going to
miss you next week.
Oh, you'll have Dan is here to entertain you.
He'll be just fine. Thanks so much, Elsie. And with Elsie waving bye-bye, that leaves a line open in Toronto, 416-360-0740, or anywhere else in the province. It's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. We're skidding to our first commercial break, and we'll be back to say hi to Rosemary in Fort Erie here on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie, we're going to Fort Erie right now.
Lovely.
And Rosemary on the line. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling about my rhubarb.
Mm-hmm.
I called you before because it was very, very thin. And you said put mulch. This was a few years ago. My husband did it. Came up, fattened up. It was really nice.
Oh, beautiful.
It's gone back to being very, very thin again.
Huh.
Is it too crowded? I was wondering if we should, maybe break it up a bit.
How long has it been in that location?
Oh, 20 years.
Yeah. And how much sun is it getting?
It's a south exposure, so it gets quite a bit of sun.
So it's getting out like a good 6 hours or more.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, no trees close by.
Well, yeah. No, not where he's got his garden. No.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It tastes lovely. It's that lovely red.
Yeah.
And but it's so thin. And I said to him, I wonder if we should kind of thin it out a bit. He's afraid that my husband, that it'll, die, and it's so good.
You don't want to chance it, huh?
Rhubarb's pretty tough. When you look down at the plant, mm-hmm. does it have more than one plant growing from that central rosette that it grows from? Like, are there multi-rosettes, or is it just the one plant?
Oh, no, there's all kinds of plants.
Okay, okay. So that's what you should do. I would wait till the fall or spring, but fall would be better. Sharp shovel, get in there and separate. Make it so that it's not that crowded mass of multi-plants. Because you had the original mother plant you planted 20 years ago. And,
of course,
lots of little daughters have come off the mother. So it does get too crowded in there. They're shading each other. They're stealing each other's, you know, they're competing.
Yes.
Yeah, for nutrient and water. So no worries about killing anything. It's more of a severing, like with the sharp shovel, between.
So make sure you get the crown like that looks like a nice... Mm-hmm. Group and then do it that way.
Exactly. So and it's like hosta, if you've ever severed hosta, where, you know, sometimes if they're really, really close together and it's impossible, we'll dig up the whole clump and mm-hmm. we'll do this on a cool day in the fall, get out our sharp knife and then cut them apart. So each of the crown, a crown is where the leaves and the stems come together. And
I didn't know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so as long as you can have each of them, some of them are going to be tiny and some are going to be bigger, but each of them can be severed from each other mm-hmm. and then replanted.
And then they'll fatten up a bit.
Absolutely.
Great. That's all I needed to know.
I can't wait to taste the pies.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, I make rhubarb crisp.
Oh, that's good too.
And actually, what I can't believe is I'm still pulling rhubarb right now.
Yeah, that is great.
Wow, that's super.
It's really late in the year to be doing it. And my husband's saying, I think there's enough out there for another crisp.
Yeah, that's why he's worried about losing the rhubarb.
Exactly.
He loves the crisp.
Hey, well, thanks, Rosemary.
Well, I've been enjoying some strawberry rhubarb jam my neighbor gave me, which is so good too.
Yummy.
Love that, being the jam head that you are.
Yummy, lucky tummy, I say. Well, we're on to our next caller here, getting close to the half-hour point when we'll be introducing a special guest.
Yes, I didn't even mention Deanna Groves will be joining us from the Quinte Botanical Gardens.
Right, but first let's check in and see what's going on in Josie's world in Scarborough. Hi, Josie.
Hi.
Good morning.
good morning. My question is about what kind of evergreen would be the best, and it's for the front of the house that faces west, and it's a very hot, dry area that with the afternoon sun. And I don't want it to grow too tall, like 24 to 30 inches.
Oh, okay.
Can you recommend something?
And how much space do we have for this plant?
Any amount, because I plan to remove what's there now.
Okay. You know, it's perfect. Good question. You've got very, very, like you say, hot western exposure. So the sun is beating in and you need a tough plant. We're nowhere near a road, are we, where we're going to get salt?
No.
Okay. So my first impulse would be a juniper, a spreading juniper. Okay. Junipers love a hot, dry location. If you think about Georgian Bay, or you think about the Group of Seven paintings, and you think of those rocky, you know, outcroppings and islands, and you'll see one evergreen sort of perched growing up out of the rock, those are junipers. They can grow in very extreme conditions, and they do love that hot, dry location. Just make sure that you choose one that's going to stay within the height that you have in mind.
Okay.
Some of the spreaders are, well, there's one example, for example, called turquoise spreader or blue carpet. They're literally hug the ground. And then on the other end of spreading junipers, we have the Pfizers, and they'll grow 4 or 5 feet tall. So in between, there's a whole bunch of choices, golden colors, blue colors, regular green colors. So depending on the color you're looking for, the texture you're looking for, there's lots of choices out there in the spreading juniper group.
Okay. Now, how wide do they spread?
Depends how many years and how well fed they are and how what the quality of the soil is.
Mm-hmm.
If it was really optimal conditions for many of these junipers, and they were given, you know, food and beautiful soil and all these perfect conditions, in 20 years, it might be a meter or a meter and a half across.
Oh. Good.
Yeah. So it's just a question. If you never feed it, never water, it won't get that big. So it's
okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you so much, Charlie.
All right.
Thanks, Josie.
Bye bye.
Thank you. And a quick note to Jack, who is hanging on the line there from Bolton, first time caller too. Just be patient, Jack. Okay, because we do have a special guest coming up right now. But right after that, we'll get to you and your call. Okay. Meantime, do you have?
No, we don't have her on the line yet.
Oh, I see. Maybe
just
we should go join Jack then. right now while we're getting set up.
Good idea.
Okay. Hey, Jack, just a minute here. There we are. First-time caller from Bolton. Jack, that's good morning.
Right. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Listen to your show.
Nice.
Very, very good.
Nice.
I have some ferns that are being eaten by something, and I don't know what to put on them to get rid of them.
Do you have any idea what kind of ferns? Are they tall, short?
Japanese.
Oh, the purple ones?
Yeah.
Okay. So Japanese painted ferns, they're called. So being eaten. So when you say eaten, they're actually disappearing before your very eyes?
There are the leaves or whatever you call those that you can see that whatever it is has chewed away at.
I
don't know.
And you don't. So when you're out there in the daytime and you look around, you don't see any. Like you look underneath the fronds and look for any kind of pest. You don't see anything.
No.
But you see the stems with the leaf or frond material missing.
Right. Yeah.
Hmm.
Could be rabbits.
Oh, really?
Believe it or not, it's interesting, too. You know how we're all kind of doing our best to support the butterflies and the pollinators these days? There are some butterflies that will lay their eggs on ferns, and then the larva will chew. And then, of course, they will become little pupa or cocoons, and then they'll emerge as butterflies. So I wouldn't, when we don't see any pests, I'm a little hesitant to just spray randomly. What you might want to do is go out, in the dark. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night with a little flashlight. It might be earwigs. Like it could be something that's a nocturnal chewer.
Okay. Yeah.
It could be, like I say, it could be a rabbit. It could be one of many things. Mm. I wouldn't just sort of spray randomly.
Okay.
Main thing is keep those ferns, again, just like when we were saying with the rhubarb and the phlox, keep these things as happy and as healthy as you can. Next spring or this fall, do some top dressing with some nice, quality compost. Ferns love that moist soil and they love that organic soil.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have some other ferns and I don't know what they're called. But the leaves are turning brown and...
It's the heat.
Is it heat?
It's the heat and the dry.
Oh, okay.
I bet you, we haven't had a call yet on this, but I bet you we'll get some calls on Japanese maples doing just that. All the edges of the leaves are turning all crispy because it's been so hot and so dry and so windy. And of course, where I live, I pay for my water. So the last thing I'm going to do is just pour water onto all my plants. Mm. So the leaves do start to suffer. But as long as the plants are healthy and vigorous, a few crispy leaves will never kill them.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Jack.
Thank you very much.
For calling.
Okay. Have yourself a great day and a great weekend, for that matter. Now, our crack operator,
Deanna.
Duncan, has lined up our guest here, and Deanna is on the line right now.
She is. Are you there? Good morning, Deanna.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Great.
So this is Deanna Groves. She's the co-creator of the Quinty Botanical Gardens. So
that's right.
Tell us how that happened.
Oh, my gosh. What an amazing journey. But just to add, I was just listening to what you guys were saying. It's absolutely so true with the dry, crispy things that are happening. It's happening here as with shrubs and trees. But
you can't get enough water on these plants. It's impossible.
No, it's impossible. And the winters and summers are changing much that all these poor plants are trying to adjust to all of this.
That's right.
So don't give up.
Well, and I always say to people, and this is left over from my retail days, a few leaves will not kill a plant because next year we can have a whole new crop of leaves, right?
Exactly.
Like, winter's coming. These leaves are going to get composted and we start fresh with new green ones in a few months. So
that's right.
So it's all about the core of the plant that we're worried about. The good, well-established roots and the healthy soil.
That's right. And believe me, we have learned that here.
I bet. Well, so tell us. So you're on 5 acres.
Yes. Well, actually, it's 6 acres, of land that we purchased out here in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved from Mississauga when we had normal 9-to-5 jobs. we found that we were kind of spending more time in the garden than we were in the house. So that passion took off,
Cool.
We just thought it would be great, if we could realize our dreams and do something that we love and earn a living.
Nice. So you quit your job, sold your house.
Yes, yes.
And what did you buy? You bought like a gravel pit or something, didn't you?
You know what? Yes, some of it is. It was a gravel and sand pit.
Wow.
So we had had very, very sandy soil here. And, of course, we had to adjust the soil in the garden. So we had special compost and a little harsher soil bringing in here to hold on to the moisture and to also offer nutrients to all the plants, because sandy soil is great for irrigation, but there's nothing there for the plants.
That's right.
Wow.
So truckloads.
Truckloads, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, I believe it.
That is quite a task when you think you have to amend that amount of land.
That's the thing. Most of us are amending like a suburban lot. Okay.
I know.
Well, I'm just looking at your website, and the Garden Gazebo is showing up right off the top. And it looks beautiful.
Mm. Oh, thank you. That's our little welcome gazebo where people first arrive.
So tell us exactly where you are.
Well, we're in Quinte West.
Right.
And that's about, an hour and a half, an hour and three quarters from Toronto, and about 11 minutes from the 401.
Oh, wow. So just north of the 401.
It's
Frankfurt.
Barely north. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, what's the turnoff off the 401?
525.
Okay.
Exit 525.
Oh, there you go.
And you're...
Look for Frankfurt, and that's us. If you blink, you miss Frankfurt. Okay, welcome to the country.
So, and you are open 7 days a week?
We're open 5 days a week.
Okay.
From Mondays, we're closed Mondays and Tuesdays for maintenance because there's a lot of maintenance to do here.
I bet.
Yeah.
And it's just you and your husband doing it all?
You know what? It started up that way. Then we got smart. You know, 20 hours a day, it can get a little rough.
So,
we still actually do, when we left Mississauga, we actually opened a landscaping business.
Right.
And I changed, we really did a 180. John and I used to be an accountant, and John was a purchasing agent.
Oh, wow.
What a wonderful thing to realize.
Passion.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Follow your passion.
Yes, very much so.
So working 7 days a week is okay because it's not like work, right?
What's that old saying?
Absolutely.
Find something you love to do, and you'll never have to have a job the rest of your life.
Exactly. Never work a day.
Sounds like
if I was a millionaire, I'd still be doing this.
I bet.
There you go.
So you host weddings in the garden?
We do. It's so romantic. One of the gardens that I designed here is a rose garden, it's sort of in three partitions. One is like just a roundish one. Another is a long kind of hallway of pergolas that are covered with climbing roses and clematis and you know, really pretty color.
Nice.
And then it opens up into a rectangular area with a raised podium and columns and a garden dome.
Oh,
and that's where they say their ideas. And it's so lovely.
That's so great.
Yeah.
So you still have the garden business, the garden maintenance. It's not maintenance, more of a design, a construction.
Yes.
And what's that called?
The Garden Place.
The Garden Place. All right.
Yeah,
and you've got a website, obviously. So
that's right.
So the Garden Place, the Quinte Botanical Gardens.
That's right.
What do you do all winter? Go to Florida and catch up on some sleep?
You know what? A lot of people think that landscapers get to have the whole winter off.
I know.
But it's anything but true.
I know.
And especially when you own your own business, and especially for us now, because we've introduced the Quinte Botanical Gardens, a lot of the winter work now is networking and getting the word out that we're here.
Yep. So maintenance on equipment, planning
for
the spring.
For sure. Not to mention the accounting at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then we've got garden shows that we do.
That's right, because we met at the Peterborough Garden Show.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We did.
Years
ages
ago.
And ages ago. Yeah.
Cool.
That was us. Bad hair day. That was me.
Oh, no. That's what we love about radio.
Yeah, no kidding. I love it.
Except
they've
got cameras in the studio now. So
now, not then. I used to wear my pajamas to work, but not anymore.
That's right. But you know what? I mean, I'm sure you realize this through your own work, Charlie, that the landscaping part is very gratifying.
Mm-hmm.
You make people happy.
Yeah.
Almost instantly with their new garden.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we realized what job satisfaction we had. We were filthy and hungry and everything by the end of the day, but people were happy.
I know. They smile.
They were hugging us, and we're covered in mud.
Dripping or freezing in the rain or any of those things.
So it was kind of an accumulation of that, mm-hmm. Where we make people happy, mm-hmm. to think, my goodness, wouldn't it be amazing, mm-hmm. if we could make gardens for people to visit?
Yeah.
So during the winter months, and you're asking what we did,
yeah.
I started designing all these garden themes, mm-hmm. For the 6 acres, and we put the shovel to the ground, mm-hmm. in 2016,
oh, wow.
and opened the next year.
Very cool. I'm so glad I discovered you, and you're, I'm going to be your neighbor soon.
I know. Welcome, welcome. I can't wait. Wait till you learn about septic tanks.
Oh, no kidding.
Even the soil out there, the rocks everywhere.
Deanna, you know, you've made us very happy, but I have to make us unhappy now, because
okay.
we have to take our
we
first
have to go.
Break.
And, yeah. Well, hope to see you at the garden sometime.
For sure. We're definitely coming your way.
Exit 525. Mm-hmm. Off the 401, right?
That's right.
Frank
and
Ford.
Open for bus tours or Hort Societies,
well,
anybody who's
go.
Listening. So sounds
excellent.
Great. Thanks so much, Deanna.
You're welcome. Take care, guys.
See you soon.
All righty.
Bye-bye
now. And we do indeed have to take
yes,
our next
do.
Break here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie's wearing a big smile because we're welcoming an old friend to the airwaves here now. Werner from Tilsonburg. Hey, Werner, hi.
Good morning.
Hello, Frank and Charlie.
How are your tomatoes?
You guys?
Yes.
Good.
I've been in the hospital for 3 weeks and I lost 8 inches of my colon.
Oh, my goodness me.
Oh.
And I'm recovering. I went in with 2 and come out with 1, if you know what I mean.
Wow, yeah.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
Golly, you and I we could be roommates because.
Oh, my, Frank. I heard you were very sick, too.
Yeah, well, it wasn't so much sick, honest to Pete. The surgery held, let's see, on Friday, the 26th of July, was laparoscopic in nature, meaning that they didn't have to do,
laparoscopic,
a big, huge, incision.
Yeah.
But, it does play on you a little bit.
Mm.
However,
yeah.
I'm being a good boy as best I can. And I hope
now,
you
Frank,
are, too.
Huh? Could I have your phone number?
Sure.
Hey, no?
Oh, of course, yeah. Send me an email, okay?
Well, I'm not good in this electronic stuff, but give me and I might try.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So what's going on in your garden if you haven't been home
tending? Yeah, I know. It went wild when
did
I came
it?
Back.
Okay.
And the neighbor was pretty good. She helped me out.
Okay, good.
Oh, good.
So the tomatoes.
I'm starting to get on top of it. I'm in number 3 gear. I'm looking for overdrive.
Don't now, overdo it.
Yeah.
Right? Now, another
steps.
Thing, there's a lady called in with the rhubarb.
Yes.
Yep.
2 tablespoons of Epsom salt a week and water it in. And she'll see the difference.
Mm. That's a good point. The Epsom Salt Council has a website, and they do list what quantities to give to different plants. So 2 tablespoons of Epsom salt every couple of weeks, magnesium sulfate, water it in.
Yeah.
I hope that Rosemary's still listening from Fort Erie.
Thanks for that,
good
Werner.
Suggestion.
Hey, listen, you guys, I love you.
Thank
Pleasure.
You.
We're
thinking about you. Get better. But baby steps. Don't overdo it.
Yep.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks
Bye-bye,
for calling.
Werner. What a sweetheart. Oh, gosh.
It's good.
Let me see you that time. Oh, we're
looks
okay
like
still.
We've got Michael on the line.
Yeah, Michael on the line from Toronto, maybe just around the corner here. Hi, Michael. Welcome.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
And Frank, love your show. It's excellent.
Thank you.
And I've got a problem and I'm turning to you for some help.
Mm.
All of a sudden, boxwoods, I have many of them all over my property, of different varieties as well, are being subjected to some sort of a plague. I'll call it a plague because it's ravaging them just within the last 2 weeks or less.
Yeah.
And they're losing leaves. I've looked at them carefully. There seems to be like a webbing, a little bit like, looks like black spots. I really can't see insects moving, but I do think it's insect. And
it is.
The leaves are brown, crumbling,
yep.
and some black and so on. But it's pretty profound,
mm-hmm.
and there was nothing like a little over 2 weeks ago. I could say nothing.
You know what it is? It's just the timing. It is an insect. I'm sorry. I'm going to just forget exactly. It's a... Oh dear. It's a miner. I think it's a leaf miner. Bottom line is an insect in the last 2 weeks has just hatched and you've got lots of boxwood. So you had lots of eggs. You weren't seeing any damage. All of a sudden the hatch, now you're seeing all the damage. Your job today is to get out into your boxwood with your clippers, your long handled shaping shears and trim the boxwood starting today. So you're going to take off as much as an inch. It could be less than an inch, you know, whatever makes sense, but you are going to trim back the boxwood because that's where the insects are concentrated in the growing tips, the newest, the freshest growth.
Right.
You're going to take off all that. Good idea if you can rake some of it out, bag it up, get it off the property. The insects will be in that new growth. So you're going to lower the population today by doing that shaping and shearing. Then, and you're going to ensure that there's been sufficient water and that the soil is good condition at the base of the boxwood. Because again, it comes back to healthy plants being better able to withstand the infestation.
Right. Now, what about the trying to amend the soil like longer term? I've never had this problem before. And like when I say I've got lots of boxwood, it's not so much concentrated, but I have it scattered like in swaths. The lot's pretty big. So it's pretty bad. So, again, can I be severe with the pruning or?
I wouldn't be severe at this time of year because we're still so warm. Plants get very shocked if we take off too much top growth. So for now, it's just a light shearing. You can be very, very dramatic and hard on any hedge plants late fall or early spring. You can cut them right down to almost the ground if you need to.
Even late fall, I could do it more profoundly.
Yeah. Mm. And at that time would be a great time as well to amend, top dress that soil, get a hold of some really good quality compost.
Right.
You know, lots of organic matter. Boxwoods, so, you know, so many evergreens they love. You got to remember, where would they naturally grow? They are an understory plant in a forest type situation. They want leaf mulch. They want cool roots. They want that, you know, peaty kind of a soil. They don't want, you know, Toronto sand or clay, right? That's just not their natural environment. So any way you can amend with good quality organic matter, the happier those plants are going to be in the long run.
Okay, Mike. And lastly, will they come back?
Yep, they will.
Like next year kind of thing. I know this year is too late, but you think they'll come back. They won't be dead.
No, they shouldn't be. No, you're going to do your best to try and, like I say, lower that population of insects that are there now.
Right.
And that's going to help them withstand this infestation. All this other good, proper TLC is going to just make them that much better able to come back in good condition next spring.
Okay. Well, thanks for your advice. And really, the two of you have a wonderful show.
Thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity to call in and always learn something every Saturday when I tune in.
Well, isn't that nice? Thank you, Michael.
Much more.
Yeah,
thanks
you bet.
So much.
Thanks so much, my friend.
Okay.
We're going to be speaking momentarily to Barb from my hometown, London, Ontario. That's coming up next here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And just a quick addendum here. I just love Ziggy. She's one of my favorite folks here at Zoomer Radio. So, hi Ziggy, in case you're listening in. All righty, Barb in London. Good morning. Hi, Barb.
Good morning.
What happened? I don't know. Is she not there?
It doesn't seem to be.
Okay. We better head then to Alliston, where Dawn resides. Hi. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. How are you folks?
Good.
Excellent.
That's great. Welcome back, Frank.
Well, thank you very much.
I have problems with tent caterpillars, and some are up awful high in my trees. I've got apple trees, and I've got pear trees. I've got a lot of trees on my tree, and this is a bad year for caterpillars. I was wondering, I used to burn them out, but some are too high to be able to get to.
Yeah, so what can you do? You could, do you have the ability to spray with a hose end sprayer, which would, you know, do you have enough pressure in your hose? You could get up to where some of these caterpillars are located?
Really?
No way.
No.
Not a lot. There's not a lot you can do then because there is a product out there. It's called bee T. So it's B stands for bacillus. It's a bacteria. And T stands for thuringiensis. So bacillus thuringiensis is a bacteria. We mix it with water. If we can spray onto the caterpillars, not so much the tents, because the tent protects them and it, sprays don't really ever penetrate. But if we can spray the tree around the tent when the caterpillars are out chewing, because they congregate into the tent at night, so we get them during the day, then it could be a really good opportunity to kill some of them. Otherwise, you're right, it's cutting out the tents and burning them. You could, what I would do is I would probably call a local arborist, certified arborist, preferably, Davy Tree is all over North America, as far as I know. Somebody that, get somebody to come in to the property and give you a quote on what they would charge to do some, pest control for you.
Okay.
Because that they can climb.
Yes.
And they'll come and take a look. They will charge you nothing for the quote. Of course, if you choose to hire them, you'll pay for their services.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right, Don, thank you for joining us here. What is actually, I'm looking out the window here, Charlie. Gorgeous Saturday morning.
Blue,
absolutely
blue sky.
Beautiful. Well, we do have time, I believe, for one quick call.
And
yeah, Betty in Burlington. Come on the air and give it to us.
Hi, Frank and Charlie.
Good morning.
You remember me, Frank. I was Betty from Hamilton, the Engelbert fan.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that you've had a health issue. Everybody seems to be going through something.
Yep. No, I'm fine. No, I'm
well,
good.
We're taking care of my husband at home. He's got Alzheimer's, so I think I wrote to you about that. But
Yes. Anyway,
my problem is I have two orchid plants, and they're just sitting there with green leaves and doing nothing.
Mm.
So,
fertilizer.
What do I do with them?
Well, fertilizer. Get some orchid fertilizer. Follow the instructions. That will help because remember, there's no nutrient in the chips or the sphagnum moss, whatever it is that your orchids are growing in.
Yes.
If they're good and green and healthy, then that, you know, that's all good. You're doing something right.
Okay.
But to encourage some flowers, I keep mine in like a north window or east window, like right in the window. Turn them every now and then. And fertilize every now and then.
Okay. And that's all there is to it.
Pretty much.
Hopefully they'll bloom sometime soon.
They will. Just cross your fingers.
Okay.
And talk to them.
Frank.
Thank you so very much, Betty. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm getting along just fine.
Excuse me.
As long as I don't rush from one room to another.
Right.
I'm good.
That's right. So coming up, it's a busy week.
Yeah.
I personally am moving.
Yep.
The big truck is coming on Tuesday, and I hope it's a big truck because there's an awful lot of stuff to move, including, you know, patio furniture, composters, rain barrels. It's crazy what we're taking. And you, on the other hand, you're going to be on a bit of a holiday.
Yeah, I'm going up to a lake on the mountain tomorrow. As a matter of fact, Shirley and I are going to drive out there for about six days. It's a marvelous spot. We've been there for years and years.
It's
you know?
So coincidental that you're going to be in my hood.
And we're going to be checking out on the drive back. We're going to make a swing by your place and see the new home.
Wear your working clothes, baby, because I can put you to work.
I'm not well enough.
All right. Come on, think of those boxes you can help
and
me unpack.
A little treat this afternoon. I have to give a shout out here to the lady I live with, Shirley Wenig. She has been such a stellar person. And
she's been caregiving you.
And she's been giving me the devil for, you know, trying to do too much. But I'm going to have her on the air today.
Oh, nice.
Just to do some weather forecasts and stuff like that.
Sure. Okay? Snuggle on radio.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Sounds like fun. So, yes, indeed. Well, I am looking forward to you and Shirley coming by to see the new place.
Yeah.
So that'll be about a week from today, I guess. And, of course, next Saturday, Dennis is here with you and the following Saturday. So thank you, everybody, for your kind thoughts. And I hope my next 2 weeks are as fun as I'm anticipating.
Good luck with all of that. Huh?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And thanks again, Frank. Nice to see you back. Thank you, Duncan. You've done a fine job. Couldn't have done this without the callers, though. See you all again in 3 weeks.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.